You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
How many ready for the word this morning? If you have your Bibles, look at John chapter 14, verse 6. It'll be up on the screen or in your notes. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I came to tell you this morning that there is one way to God, and it's through Jesus. But in Jesus, there's many ways to connect with God. The title of this message is Supernatural Encounters Part 2, Connect with God Through Movement and Conversation. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we don't make room for you, we give you the entire room. So we say, have your way in this place. Lord, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you would breathe upon your Logos word. I pray it would become alive, it would be Rhema today. Lord, I pray right now your word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, I pray right now that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your Spirit is saying. We declare no spirit but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this room. We say, fear, you have to go. We say, confusion, you have to go. We pray right now, no spirit is welcome here but the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we say, have your way in this place. Father, I thank you that nobody came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Come on, somebody pray with me. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. In Jesus' mighty name. We are in the middle of a prophetic year, a prophetic word. God told us that this would be the year of supernatural. And we are in September and we are still stewarding this prophetic word. He said it would be an Ephesians 3:20 year. It'd be a year of exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ever imagine or think according to his power that works in us. He gave us three parts to this prophetic word. Number one, we'd experience the supernatural. What is the supernatural? It's what is beyond your ability. It is the tangible glory of God. The second part to this word is you would supernaturally, personally, spiritually grow. God would do more in you this year than has ever happened in your life. I felt in my spirit that more would happen this year than would take 10 years in the natural to do in your life. And the third part is that Mercy Culture would experience supernatural numeric growth. So we're in the season of supernatural encounters. What is a supernatural encounter? A supernatural encounter is connecting with God beyond your ability. If you did not listen to part one of last week, I encourage you as your pastor, go listen to it. It's the foundation of this season. We talked about supernatural daily encounters. Someone say daily. Turn to your neighbor and say daily. Turn to your second choice and say daily. See, supernatural encounters happen through your daily encounters. That's where they take place. But we must get into the disciplines of daily encounters. It's so important that you understand that. Today, we're going to be talking about connecting with God. So the first thing that we want to do in connecting with God is we want to take the first step in the spiritual growth by connecting with God daily. Someone say daily. You hearing how important this is? There's no escape from it. Daily. The second step is learning how you best connect with Him. Then the third step is beginning to grow in your ability to connect with God. But I want to give you a few cautions that everyone connects with God differently. I said it in my introduction. In the body of Christ, we've done a disservice to everybody. As we've said, everybody try to connect with God like me. Everybody kind of do it like me. And here's the problem with that, is you're not me. And people like different kinds of music. They have different kinds of personalities. They like different kinds of food. We are unique individuals. There's nobody quite like you. And we all connect with God differently. And so we sit in the churches. If you want to grow, read your Bible, pray, and go to church. Yes, those are true, but how you do those things and the way you connect with God through those things will absolutely change your life if you can learn how you best connect with God. That's like saying, if you want to be healthy, go to the gym. It depends what you do at the gym. I've watched guys walk around the gym and for 30 minutes and just... I said, Pastor Steve, quit kicking that. Let's lift it. Don't let his schmedium fool you. Schmedium is in between a large and medium. It's pretty much a boy size. Okay. I'm joking, Pastor Steve. I'm joking. But we say stuff like that, eat healthy. Well, it depends. People's body types are different and what they eat's different. So listen, yes, we want you to pray. We want you to read your Bible. Yes, we want you to worship, but we want you to learn how you best connect with God so you can enjoy this journey, amen? So let me give you a few warnings, okay? First of all, don't try to mimic or just connect with God the way someone else does. Or let me say it just a little more simple. Don't compare yourself. Now, when you're in a spirit-filled church like this and everybody's on fire, sometimes it can be difficult. And you start comparing yourself. If I don't speak in tongues, is something wrong with me? Or I didn't get a prophetic word, or I'm not crying and everyone around me crying. And so something's wrong. Listen, don't compare yourself. We all connect with God differently. I got a friend who's a dreamer and he has these vivid dreams. And in fact, when I was on my first 40-day fast, on the third day of my fast, I'm in Fort Worth, Texas, praying about starting a church here. And he calls me and said, hey, I just had a dream that you're standing on the map of Fort Worth. Does that mean anything to you? I'm like, get out of here. Then he had a dream that we planted a church in Waco. This guy's a dreamer. Then we're at this upper room prayer room in Washington that I go every year, multiple times a year. It's this beautiful prayer room where the glory of God dwells. And I go there all the time. I wrote my gay awareness book. We broke elders retreats and fast there. We're there all the time. Pastor Matt's been there. All the elders have been there. It's this amazing place. And because he was a part of the journey of having the dream and praying into mercy culture, we brought him to one of these prayer retreats. So I'd been there probably 20 times. And he comes, and the first night he's there, we wake up in the morning. We're having breakfast, and he says, an angel came in my room last night. And I can't tell if he's joking or not. And I'm like waiting for the hook, the punchline. And I was like, for real? He's like, yeah. I go, what'd the angel say? He said, he told me I was in a safe place. I was like, ah, your first time here. It's awesome, good for you, I'm happy for you. I've actually never seen an angel. I've been here 20 times. I come here every year. In fact, I have prepared the toil, the soil, and I have fasted and prayed, and I appreciate you coming one time and hogging all of the angels. So one time, I'm in the middle of a message in Florida preaching about my friend who sees angels and has dreams. And in the middle of my message, I go, I never dream. And the Holy Spirit corrects me in the middle of my sermon and says, I speak to you in daydreams all the time. Those are visions. Then it's like light bulbs just popping off. Just God has spoken to me in daydreams when I'm awake my entire life. In fact, we built this entire church off daydreams. We were worshiping in a house. It was just a few of us. Pastor Jasmine was leading worship, and I saw houses on fire all over Fort Worth. I said, Lord, what are those? He said, they're small groups. That's why we have t-shirts with houses on fires and logos with houses on fire, because we saw it in a daydream that is actually a vision. So now my friend's like, yeah, I had a dream. I'm like, I don't care. I have daydreams every day. I'm being funny, but here's the thing is what you'll start doing is someone will post something and you'll think about what you don't have rather than stewarding what you do. Everyone connects with God differently. And here's the thing is I don't connect with God like you. You have something that is beautiful. You have something that's unique. You have something that's supernatural. And I pray in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, let it wake up inside them today. Number two, do not dishonor or devalue how other people connect with God. Luke chapter 10, verse 42. Luke 10, 42. You all know the story. It's the story of Mary and Martha. And Jesus is, Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. And Martha is around serving and cooking and doing all that stuff. And Martha comes and says, hey, Jesus, are you going to let Mary just sit there while I do everything? Everybody knows the story. You should know the story. Okay. Unless you're new to the faith, you can read it in Luke 10. So instead of correcting Mary, like Martha wanted, Jesus responded and said, what Mary has done, she has chosen best. And then here's what he said, it will not be taken away from her. Now, this is what's interesting. Jesus did not say, Martha, you should be doing what Mary is doing. He said, Martha, don't try to make Mary connect with me the way you do. Now watch this. From a theological standpoint, according to Matthew chapter 8, Peter's mother-in-law was sick. When Peter's mother-in-law was sick, Jesus healed her, and immediately she began to serve Jesus. He did not say to Peter's mother-in-law, stop it, I'm rebuking you in my name. Sit at my feet and choose what's best. Watch, he allowed her to connect with God the way she does. Church, this is so big. Stop devaluing or dishonoring how other people connect with God. Just because you don't connect with God at this altar, getting after it, and you like being in the balcony or the back row, doesn't mean you're rebellious and it doesn't mean they're wacko. You're all under the same roof. Listen, it means we connect with God differently. But we do this. I was worshiping, and I like moving around when I worship, and I saw some guy during worship putting his hands together like it was a fire. And like I felt the Lord in it. And then there's gonna be five people that give us a thumbs down on YouTube and start researching, rubbing your hands together and how it's demonic. Can I help you? We do not need any more self-ordained doctors and PhDs to tell us how God doesn't move. We need people of intimacy that can tell us how he does. Listen, stop arguing over doctrinally neutral issues. Ask me what the Bible says about gold dust. Nothing. But you work yourself up. Do you know why? Because you're a spirit-filled believer, and then they advertise religious demons who work for ministries, target you, and put their videos so they'll pop up and you'll see, because you're watching spirit-filled stuff, and they'll target you to bring witchcraft to you. Don't spend time wasting arguing over doctrinally neutral issues. You know what the Bible says about rubbing your hands together in the middle of a worship service like this? Nothing. But singing the fire of the Holy Ghost, I was feeling it. All right, here we go. There is one way to God, and it's through Jesus. But there's many ways to connect with God through Jesus. At Mercy Culture, we have a membership. It's called MC Connect. But it's not just membership. In this membership, we have an assessment. And in the assessment, you take this quiz, this assessment, and it will help you figure out how you best connect with God. Now, I don't want to say the number, but we have thousands and thousands of members that have gone through MC Connect that are part of Mercy Culture. But we just launched the 2.0 of this assessment last week. So only 37 people have gone through the new assessment. So in the last 3 years, we've had the same assessment, and our team got together and we created a new one. So if you text the word encounter to the number on the screen, anyone who's not a member of Mercy Culture can go through membership and take this assessment. And if you are a member, there's a link for you to click that you're a member and you can take the brand new assessment. And here's what we're gonna do is we're gonna spend the rest of the year teaching you different ways to connect with God. So it will give you a ranking of which ways that you preferably connect with God that you may or may not know. And then the beauty is it is all these are different ways that you can connect with God to grow in your relationship with God. So I'm gonna go over two different ways that you can connect with God. Some of you already connect with God this way, you just don't realize it yet. And in MC Connect, we have 12 different ways for you to supernaturally grow in your relationship with God by being intentional in how you connect with him. Remember, the first step is to do it daily. The second is to learn how you best connect with God. And then the third step and the final step is just to grow in how you connect with God. So who's ready to go? Number one, you connect with God through movement. Acts chapter 17, verse 28 says this, for in him we live and move and have our being. Look at this. It says, for in him, in Jesus, we live, we move, and we have our being. What does it mean to be in him? It means this, that he is our starting point or place daily. And then we move from that place with him. It means that we derive strength to move from him in a heart of constant, absolute dependence on him. It's this, that there's no idea of a dependence more striking that we owe it to him the ability to perform the slightest movement. Defining that word move in the Greek is the Greek word kinao, which means this, to be set in motion, removed, excite, to stir up, provoked, or even rocking. My favorite place in the entire world is not Hawaii, it's the Western Wall. If you could say to me, where you go anywhere you want, where would you want to go? It's always the Western Wall. It's the wall that was on the other side of the Holy of Holies. This is one of my favorite places. This is my favorite place in the entire world. And when you go there, you will find Jews rocking. You will see them praying in motion, because some people connect with God in motion. Now, it's interesting. I mentioned those YouTube videos that love to attack anything that moves outside of their bubble of religion. But according to the Greek definition of move, in him, we actually rock, we are stirred, and there is a motion that is attached to encountering God. Let me give you some scriptures on movement. First, Jesus moved towards us when he came out of heaven, John 6:38, and says he came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. The psalmist declared the motion of God when he said, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living, Psalms 116, verse 9. How about this one? Elijah outrunning the chariots. 1 Kings 18:46, he connected with God. It says, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garments and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. If you read this entire text in its context, he outran chariots. Now this is wild, because as I was praying, I started getting excited, and the Lord reminded me, he said, I spoke to you clearly for the first time in movement. I was in first grade. My uncle bought me a pocket knife for my birthday. And I was in this little wooded area right by my house where there was a main road. And I was in the woods with a buddy in the neighborhood, and I was carving things and our names in trees and just being a kid. And as I was holding my pocket knife, carving in the tree, I heard the Lord's voice audibly out loud. I didn't know it was the Lord at the time, but I heard the Lord's voice audibly out loud say, run. And I turned to my friend and I said, run. And I just started running. And the moment I came out of the woods, this car came speeding out from behind the corner and started chasing us. I went through the neighbor's yard and through the bushes and hopped some fences, and I got to my house. But I was reminded that the very first time God ever spoke to me was when I was running. But I'm a slow learner, so it took me a while to get. So fast forward another 25 years, and Heather and I were in a season of being in full-time traveling ministry. And we were living in Austin, Texas at the time. And so there was this trail that was by our house with a little pond behind it. And because Heather worked in real estate and I was traveling, so we had kind of mixed up different schedules. And so I'd go running at night, and I started doing it just to get healthy. And so I'd go about 10 o'clock at night, and I'd run at night, and because I like to get up early in the morning or late at night. And so I started running the trail. And I found out that when I was about a mile or 2 miles into it, I started getting physically tired. But when I was physically tired, all of a sudden I was spiritually alert. It reminded me of the same feeling of fasting. And then I would notice that I wouldn't even be talking to God, but I would be running in motion, and he would start talking to me. And then all of a sudden, I would hear from him and come back from these runs, and babe, God spoke to me this, and God spoke to me that, and this is what he said about this. And so the journey started continuing, where it was never really about running. It was just about how long can I be out there to hear from him. because every mile, every step, every hour that you're out there is an opportunity to hear from heaven. In fact, when I was on a run, I ran 17 miles on Friday getting ready for Justice Run. I waited for somebody to clap right there. I see Pastor Abe clapping. Thank you, Pastor Abe. He said in front of this week, in front of our staff, it was very dishonoring actually. He said, how do you know if someone is in a marathon? They will tell you. I was like, that is very accurate. So when I was running this week, I heard the Lord speak to me about you running. Any Justice Run runners in this house? Okay. I heard the Lord say that he was going to meet you on the run in motion. I'm going to say it again. I heard the Lord speak to me and say he's going to speak to you while you're running in the Justice Run. Because he wants to meet with you and connect with you in motion. Here's what I found. I found that when I was running, it was so easy to connect with God. It was so easy to hear from God because he was there. Let me push you a little theologically for a second. Acts chapter 8, verse 38 through 40. It's talking about when Philip was transported or spiritually moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm gonna give you another word that's a little weird. Okay, so here comes another thumbs down on YouTube. Teleported. Look at the text. Acts 8:39 says, when they came up from out from the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the Enoch saw him no more, and he went away rejoicing. But if you read the next verse, Philip found himself in another city. That word carried away in the Greek means to forcibly or miraculously remove from one place to another. Guys, this is big. He's literally picked up. Now, we don't like this story because it's in the New Testament and we want all the weird stories to be in the Old Testament so we can just say it's Old Testament. So it's easy when Enoch was taken away. It was easy when Elijah was taken away because this is the God of the New Testament. And if we're going to call ourselves a New Testament church and our life don't reflect that at all, we better not say anything about it. It's quiet in this spirit-filled church. He was transported from one location to another. You say, Pastor, why are you talking about this? Because we're entering into a season that we can call the end days, where right now you can't travel and enter into places without certain certificates, without certain passports. Watch, there's a conditioning that is happening right now. Listen, I'm not saying what we're seeing right now is the mark of the beast. I'm saying we're being conditioned for it. And according to scripture, we'll be at a place where we cannot buy, sell, or trade. And I'm guessing not travel. So what happens when God wants to get his servant into a place that he doesn't have the right passport, that he doesn't have the right certificate, that he doesn't have the right mark? God is going to have to move him through motion. It's about 400 people. They're like, I don't know about that. Well, let me tell you this. So you mean to believe that you believe that a woman was impregnated by the Holy Spirit who gave birth to a sinless Savior who died on the sins for you and me, who ascended to heaven and one day is coming back, but God transporting you to where he needs you and the moment he needs you is far-fetched for you? What happened to the faith of the church? Ah. I have so much more to go. Sit down, please. We see a troubling of the water in John chapter 5, where there was an angel that brought movement to the water. If you read your Bible and you got an NIV or ESV, John 5, 4 is not in there. They omitted it. Why? Because some translations never saw the angel. But the important part is to look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, when the water was moved, something spiritually moved or troubled the water. And when someone got in the water, they got healed. It required a faith to partner with motion. Why? Because in motion, God takes you out of a place physically into a spiritual place of breakthrough. For those that are a little more comfortable with the Old Testament, we can go to Joshua, when God says, I want you to go and walk around the walls of Jericho. I want you to begin to claim land that I'm about to give you authority in. You know the story. They walked around 6 days, and on the seven times they walked around. And what happened? There was a spiritual breakthrough that took place when they partnered with faith through motion. I heard in my spirit earlier in the first service that somebody might need to just start walking in neighborhoods that you feel called to, walking around buildings that you feel called to buy. You say, I don't know how I'm going to afford it. That's fine. It's the year of the supernatural. So when it happens, it's beyond your ability. You can't take the credit for it. Somebody needs to learn how to take territory by faith. On May 17th of 2019, I was on my knees right here at this altar. We did not own this property. And I heard the Lord say, I'm going to give you this place. I was in here all by myself with just a lot of red all around. If you're new to this community, this entire sanctuary looked like a 1980s. Well, it was the 1970s. A lot of red. So I told no one. I hid it in my heart. And I started walking. I did a 40-day fast and walked around this property every single day for 40 days. I said, Lord, if this is your heart for us, then release it in the spirit. Watch. Motion releases breakthrough in the spirit. Motion creates spiritual movement. Watch. This is, I love this. In Acts chapter 9, Paul meets Jesus on the road of Damascus. They called him Saul at the time. He was in the middle of motion when he met God. He is moving and he meets God. After he meets God, then what happens is all of a sudden he starts taking, watch, the stirring that took place in his heart, and he starts bringing that movement to other cities and places. We see in Acts chapter 24, I don't have time to get into it, it's in your notes. Acts chapter 24, he's arrested and they are accusing him of causing riots and stirring up the community. When you live and connect with God through movement, you will stir up every place that you set your foot. You will stir up movements. When you walk into family get-togethers, you stir things up. When you walk into the business meeting, you stir things up, because there is a movement that's happening inside of you. The Lord spoke to us. Spoke to Pastor Steve and told him to run for office. In fact, God spoke to us 3 years prior. We were in that little upper room that I told you about before. And in that upper room, God spoke to us. Then he spoke to Pastor Steve and a group of us that he was supposed to run for mayor. Listen, the prophetic word was run. With a 2-month campaign, he didn't win the mayorship. He got 10% of the vote with a 2-month campaign and got more votes than some people that have been in city council their entire life. I had people call me in there. We just want to give you our condolences. I know you lost. I said, we didn't lose. You never lose obeying God. He didn't say we're going to win. He said, run. I'm in the dinner. I don't know what you call it. I'm at the dinner. It's a restaurant in the Stockyards where we're watching the election results come in live. And I'm standing in the back and I'm in the back and I feel all of a sudden my spirit begin to stir. And up in my spirit came, we're not going after the mayorship. We're not just going after the mayorship. We're going after every seat of city council, every seat on the school board. We're going after every seat of influentiality in our city and in our schools. We are going to take our city back. Watch. There was a spiritual provoking that took place. If our little 1.5-year-old church could get 10% of the vote with a 2-month campaign, what can an army do in the next 2 years to take back our city? What can we do from Fort Worth throughout DFW across Texas? I'm telling you right now, there's a spiritual war that is going to be taking place, and the people of God need to step into connecting him through movement. You don't have to run for office to connect with God through moving. Some of you stay-at-home moms and dads look at Steve's race and said, man, I can never do something like that. But you have no idea how powerful folding laundry could be. We're talking about connecting with God. We're talking about just in movement connecting with him. And him speaking to you and obeying you. You can be reaching down and grab a toy. And as you grab that toy, he speaks and something happens. I want to open you up to a different thought process than you just connect with God being in 9-to-5 full-time ministry every day. Listen, we're supposed to be connecting with God 9-to-5 no matter what we're doing with our hands, no matter what is our livelihood or what we do at work. Listen, he wants to connect with you. Look at this scripture. I love this. Exodus 31. The Lord said to Moses, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, from the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God and the ability and intelligence with knowledge in all craftsmanship. This is important. God wants to connect with you through your craftsmanship. Whatever craft you have. So I've mentioned twice in this sermon about this prayer room that I've gone to, where the presence of God abides. Let me tell you how it was created. My friend, he was one of our intercessors for years. His name is Ron. Ron connects with God through working, through motion, through working with his hands. And he's a carpenter. And he's in his garage, and he's building something in his garage, and he's got worship music playing in his garage, and he hears the Lord say, is there any room for me here? He began to say, yes, Lord, there's room for you here. He said multiple times, he kept hearing in his spirit, is there any room for me here? He's just making things out of wood in his garage. Yes, Lord. Then this church group came to worship on the property because they own about 9 acres. And one of the ministers came and said, hey, what's upstairs by his garage? He said, there's nothing up there. It's just empty space. And he said, no, I think God wants to be upstairs. The Lord began to give him a vision of building this upper room. Then he started having these prophetic words that there would be apostles and there'd be prophets and there'd be ministers that would come from all over the nation to this upper room. And God would minister to them there. Watch. He begins to build what he saw God show him in the garage above his house. And then it's been the quiet place, upper room sanctuary for me and ministers from around the nation. Our church was birthed from that prayer room. The first ever elders retreat ended with a 40-day fast in that prayer room. Watch this. We need to take some leadership school students to this prayer room. Listen to me. All through connecting with God through motion. I want you to know God wants to connect with you. He wants to speak to you. And it's not going to look like what it's always looked like. When you go through and text that word encounter to that number, you'll go through and take this assessment. There's suggested activities. there's encouragements. There's all these different things that you can do if you connect with God in those ways. Holy Spirit, help me. Number two, you can connect with God through conversation. Matthew 28, 18 says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Read that again. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I've said this so many times from the pulpit. And I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it again. We are called and invited to commune with the Holy Spirit the same way the disciples did with Jesus. Jesus said, I will be with you till the end of the age. I've heard people say stuff like, well, if Jesus was here right now, I would ask him, what is stopping you? Watch, the same way that Adam and Eve walked and talked with God in the garden is the same way the disciples walked with Jesus. They got to ask him, how do we pray? And how much do we need to forgive? And should we cut this guy's ear off? Should we do that? What do you think about this, Jesus? What do you think about this, Jesus? Listen, the stuff they even talked about at times, they argued about who was the best. Watch, they lived life with Jesus. You are invited to live the same way with the Holy Spirit. But you know why it's hard? Because the Holy Spirit's not welcome at our church. He's not welcome in Christianity. Oh, we'll talk about him if he's the God that stays in the corner or the back room on a Wednesday night three times a year. But what if he embarrasses us? And what if someone prays in the Holy Ghost too loud? And what if we can't control it? It's why it's never started. Because you're controlling it before it ever begins. We are called to walk and commune with the Holy Spirit. Imagine if you could just ask God anything at any time. You don't have to imagine, you can do it. If someone gets this, your life will forever change. Here's the problem, is the reason why we don't ask God is because we've talked to everyone but him first. So we get tired of talking. Are there any wives in the room that could bear witness when their husbands come home? How was your day? It's good. Tell me about it, just the stuff. Have you ever been with someone and you tried to start a conversation? Maybe you're being with someone who was maybe rude to you or just thought they were better, and you try to engage in conversation and they make it clear that they don't want to participate in conversation? Has anyone ever been in that situation? Okay. Are you doing that to God? Are you, when he's trying to talk with you? Let me show you what scripture says. I love this. And in John 16, Jesus says, I have much more to talk to you about, but the Holy Spirit is the one who's gonna come and speak to you. It says this in John 16, let's look at verse 13. The Spirit of truth will come. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Watch this. That word speak in the Greek is the word laeo, which means this, to be talkative. The Holy Spirit likes to talk. Why is it so hard for the body of Christ to hear him? If he's talkative, if Jesus warns us he's not leaving us, if he tells us he's got much more to talk to you about, he's got much more to say, where's the disconnect? We're not connecting with God in conversation. You're called and invited to talk to the Holy Spirit just like a friend. Exodus 33, 11. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. God spoke to Moses freely, closely, and immediately. When you connect with God through conversation, you communicate with God freely, closely, and immediately. And one thing that we've done is that we only go to God when we have something important. We have a big decision, and it's something really big, and there's a lot of pressure, and then it feels really hard to talk to God. See, when you talk to him every day about little things that aren't that big of a deal, it makes it so easy to hear him about things that are really important and a big deal. Let me give you some practical advice. When you have a question to the Lord, write it down. Physically write it down. I do this in my phone and I do it on a blackboard in my office all the time. And I'll say, Holy Spirit, what do you think? What should I do? And I'll literally ask him the question and write him down. Because there is a documented trail for when he talks back. It's almost like you're putting the ball in his court and saying, okay, you're up. And I don't just ask him once, I ask him over and over. I do this all the time. And he always talks back. Do you know why? Because he's talkative. When I was praying for you this week, I felt in my spirit that some of you feel like you're bothering God. I felt it in my spirit as I prayed for you. And I felt the Lord tell me to tell you, you're not bothering him. And some of you are like, but the things I'm talking about are so dumb. He loves it. He talked to the disciples about who is the greatest. When Peter and John are arguing about who's faster, go study it, it's awesome. Listen, he loves to talk to the children. And the same way that he welcomed kids to run to him is the same way he welcomes you in conversation. Do not belittle what you want to talk to God about. You know what I just saw? I just had a vision of the smallest little bugs and the Lord talking to people about the little things he made. Do you know there's nothing that is too small that won't make great conversation with the Holy Spirit? Okay. This is the number one advice as a pastor I give everybody. This is the number one thing I tell more people. This is my number one advice. I say this all the time. Ask the Holy Spirit. People come to me, want to talk about business, their marriage, spiritual things. I ask them all the time, did you ask the Lord? And it's about 9 out of 10 times they say no. Church, ask the Lord. Begin to train yourself before you ask a friend, before you ask your spouse, before you ask your small group leader, ask the Lord. This is so powerful. Connecting with God through conversation is so powerful. God will talk to you when you're talking to yourself. Connecting with God through conversation is so powerful. He'll talk to you when you're talking to somebody else. He wants to talk. We were at Pastor Nikki's birthday party last week. And I was sitting across from Pastor Matt and we're talking about marathons and he's lost his mind. He's done like 20 marathons and like 8 Ironmans. I don't know why any human being would want to do that, but he has. And so we're talking about marathons and all this stuff. And we're just talking about the physically running marathons. And he said something to me. And when he said it to me, I heard God speak to me. But we're talking about marathons. And he said, what people don't get is you have to learn how to drink water and feed yourself when you're not hungry and you're not thirsty. And the moment he said it to me, I just felt like the Holy Spirit just kicked me. I literally just felt his kick. That's what a daily encounter is. That you feed yourself every day. That's why people don't make it in the race. That's why they bow out. That's why injuries come. That's why attacks come. Because they have not fed themselves. God loves conversation so much. He wants to talk to you every day. Worship team, come and join me. I'm gonna share a text that changed my life. When I say changed my life, I literally mean I was never the same. How many have heard me say before from the pulpit or pray before, speak Lord, your servant's listening. I think I did it twice this morning already. I pray this prayer every day, multiple times a day. I pray this over my kids every day, multiple times a day. I pray this over our church every day, multiple times a day. I pray this over my staff every day, multiple times a day. Since I was 18 years old, I've been praying this prayer, speak, Lord. It comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, there's a boy, Samuel, whose job is to minister before the Lord unto the high priest Eli. If you have your Bible, look in the Word of God. It says this in verse 1, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Verse 2, one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Now the ark of God was the presence of God. God speaking to him in the presence of God because it's easy to hear God when you're in his presence. Verse 4 says, then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. He ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I did not call you, go back and lie down. So he went and lay down, and again the Lord called to Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you, go back and lie down. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. Now that jumps out at me at verse 7, because in verse 1, it says the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord. But verse 7 says he did not know the Lord. This is a picture of the church. That we have people that are ministering, but they don't know him. People that say they're following him. They say they're believers, but they don't know him. Scripture goes on to say, again, the Lord called to Samuel and he went to Eli. And this time, you gotta go read it for yourself. 1 Samuel 3. Eli realized God speaking. He said, if you hear the voice again, say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. See, Eli was the high priest. Samuel was his servant. Samuel had chambers right next to Eli's. God was speaking to Samuel, but he didn't recognize it was God speaking to him. Eli didn't hear him because it took three times before Eli realized he's hearing something that's not me. Church, this is so important. God was speaking to Samuel internally. He was speaking to him so clear, it sounded like someone's voice out loud. And the priest said this, if you hear the voice again, watch, talk back. If you hear the voice again, say out loud, speak, Lord. So he went and lay down. And the merciful one once again came and said, Samuel, Samuel. This is it, this is it. He connected with God through conversation when he said, speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. Samuel became one of the greatest prophets who ever walked the face of the earth. Watch. Because he connected with God through conversation. Do you know what God said about Samuel? 1 Samuel chapter 2. He said, I'm going to raise up for myself a faithful priest that will minister to my heart. I know I've said this a few times, and I'm not trying to be dramatic. But what I'm going to tell you right now is absolutely life-changing. If you want to connect with God through conversation, the greatest thing you can talk to God about is his heart. And so many people are struggling with their relationship with God because the only thing you talk about is your heart, your life, your needs, what you want to accomplish, what you want to do, what your dreams are. But there's this place of intimacy that you can only access when it's not about you. And when it isn't about what you want anymore. When it's not about your best life. When it's just about what pleases the King. Oh, with everything in me, I didn't want to pastor. I made an inner vow because I hate religion and the drama and dysfunction of church. So I said, Lord, I just want to minister to your people, but I don't want to be in the church. But I made a mistake. I started asking him for his heart. And when you have his heart, he begins to lead you. He begins to guide you. He begins to speak to you. In church, it's never about you. What would happen if you became a faithful priest? It was obsessed with his heart.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.